Thank you. Let there be light. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, well, don't freak out when God starts answering your prayers, because you were all declaring for Him to go deeper. So don't freak out when that happens. Since it's kind of late, I don't know how much I'm going to share of what I've put together. Michael, there's that photo. Will you bring that photo up? Yeah, that one. Yeah, and then just drag it over, and then hit full screen. So this is our friend Shane's illustration of the seat of rest. He called it Occupy the Seat. So that's a good little illustration for you to just look at and ponder. He's got it up on his Facebook page, Shekinah Glory Apparel, I believe. And you can get it off of there. But so I'm gonna continue going down that road a little bit as far as the seat of rest. And praying into the soul from just the things that the Lord has shown me and done in me and revealed to me. And the one thing that, I guess the one thing to throw out there that would help is, we haven't mentioned it in a while, but it's Katie Souza's teaching, The Glory Light of Jesus Heals Your Soul, or Heals My Soul, something like that. But it's The Glory Light of Jesus. When you can listen to that teaching and get the revelation of purposefully, because all of this is about having purpose and intent in what you're doing, right? And so with intent and with purpose, you're going to stand on your mountain, and you're going to release the glory light of Jesus into those places that are manifesting. Okay? And so go ahead and spin that scripture around that says that heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. This is you and I getting violent with those things. And whatever that is, whatever that looks like, it's you becoming, finally getting to a place where it's just, okay, God, let's do this. You know? The point is, you and I, we don't have to live with these things for the rest of our life in the earth. We don't have to carry this stuff. We don't have to deal with this stuff. But I will say this, I was listening to a guy today, and he pointed out a really cool scripture. And you know how we said before, the picture for us is when the Israelites went into the promised land, that the Father said, I can't give you all of the land because it's too much. You're not ready to steward that. Okay? So another scripture that kind of goes along with that is in Judges 3. And I'll just read the first couple verses in Judges 3. It says, Now these are the nations which the Lord left that he might test Israel by them, that is, all who had not known any of the wars in Canaan. So the Lord left some kings in place so that the Israelites that didn't fight in Canaan when they were going through the land, because basically there was a generation that grew up in the wilderness that, one, when they crossed over, they had to be circumcised. All right, so there's already a generation that had to cross over, or when they cross over, they were circumcised, but they were also of a generation that had not known war. So God left these kings in place for a strengthening and also a test. Okay, so really, when you're getting beat up in the spirit, I know it's hard and it really sucks, but realize that it has a purpose and you're being strengthened, and it's for you to overcome. That's the only way you and I are going to be overcomers, is because we've overcome something. So realize those kings that are sitting in those high places in your soul, which are the giants and other entities, that at some point you might have an encounter with one. And it's time to deal with it. So So all of this, like all the stuff that we've been talking about, you could really boil it down to just simply identity. It really does come down to identity. All right? So think about it. If you walk around, before we came to Christ, you were living, your reality was a broken, wounded soul. That was your reality. Whether it was depression, rage, anxiety, fear, shame, worthlessness, all the stuff that every human being is potentially at risk of suffering under, however our brokenness happened to us. But the point is all of that is a false identity that you and I have lived out of our whole life until we met Christ. Right? So our whole entire life, we're walking in this place of shame, of fear, whatever it looks like in your life. Whatever those things that are familiar that you may or may not still be wrestling with. But that is a false identity that every one of us have lived out of. And then we come to Christ, and none of that stuff is in Christ. So now you got to start identifying with Christ and being in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So identity is a huge key in this us manifesting as sons and all things being restored in us, our soul fully entering into rest. And again, relationship. None of this is going to happen without relationship. Another book that I would encourage you to get that I don't think it's available, but you'll have to go to Anna Mendez Farrell's ministry's website to get it. It's called Regions of Captivity. That's a really good book, really awesome revelation, and that was another key in the things that God gave me to expose me to and just help open up some things to me. So I just want to read this real quick, these thoughts. As we commune with Abba and interact with Him, that will be transformation in and of itself. So it's just like none of you would say that you know me if you've never met me, right? I mean, to know someone, you've got to interact with them. You've got to speak to them. You've got to hear from them. I mean, that's what this is about. So, and that's a huge, obviously, a weakness in a lot of the church is a lot of believers don't have that kind of relationship with God. You know, they memorize a whole lot of Bible verses, you know, they have a lot of knowledge of things, but they don't know God per se. So, again, our relationship is a huge key in all of this, and that's how it's all going to just flow out, is in and by relationship. So even in here tonight, just being in His presence tonight is transformative. Every time we're in God's presence, we are being changed, whether we realize it or not. And so as we become those worshipers in spirit and truth, just as Christ is the capstone and the head of all things, so too is He our capstone in our lives. Christ is the Aleph Tav, all right? So it all begins with Christ, and it's going to end with Christ, because it's Christ in you. And I want to point out, too, that Christ also means the Holy Spirit. So don't get stuck. I used to get kind of stuck, and when I heard the word Christ, I always thought about Jesus the person. But when you think about Christ, think about Holy Spirit as well. Because that's who Christ is in you, is Holy Spirit. Because Christ means anointed one, or Christ means anointed. So you've been smeared by the Spirit, hopefully, you know, baptized, filled, whatever. So again, identity. So I don't know if y'all have seen this Bible on the internet, but it's called the Sefer Bible, or Sefer. It has everything, all of the good books are in it. Enoch, Jubilees, the Book of Jasher. It's got all the books in it. All right, so these folks went and did this Bible, put it all together. So it's all in there. And what they did was is they left all of God's names intact. So you can actually read this and read as the name that's actually in the Hebrew. It was like $80-something, but it was worth it, I believe. It's a good Bible to have as a study reference. And they put all the books in chronological order of how of when they were written. So the identity thing, we all know John 3:3. Unless you be born again, right, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven. All right. That word again. This is how they translated that verse. Yahushua or Yeshua answered and said unto him, Amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man be born from the beginning, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born from the beginning. And in other translations, like Young's literal translation, he says, unless you are born from above. Right? So, again, let's bring this into our identity part that we're talking about. So where are you from? Because you're no longer from the earth. It says in the Bible, not even just using that scripture, it says you're seated in heavenly places. I mean, it's you and I know that we're in heaven right now, even though we may, however much we may be aware of, like what Virginia was talking about, the portal, the glory, the shaft, and all that stuff, however many of you may or may not have been aware of that, but still, we're all in the Spirit, whether we're conscious of it or not. So, and then in verse 7, they translated it this way. It says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born from the beginning. So, I want to bring it over to the end of chapter 7, because it says, he that comes from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He that comes from heaven is above all. You need to put yourself in that verse. I know John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, but Jesus himself called us gods. You need to wrestle that out a little bit and not be religious about it and accept the fact that Jesus even called you gods. And that comes from Psalms 82. Okay? And in Colossians 3, what does it say? It says that seek these things that are above. Dwell upon those things. Consider and think about those things. So in Matthew 6, when it says seek first the kingdom of heaven, that's not admonishing you to go read another book. It's encouraging you to get in the Spirit and go seek out your Father in heaven. Okay. So, and this is a teaching that I'll probably do in another week or two, but it comes from in Corinthians there, where Paul said, first in the natural, then in the Spirit. Okay. In Deuteronomy 8, the Israelites in the wilderness were a manifestation of the kingdom of heaven. You need to understand that. Because it says in Deuteronomy 8 and Deuteronomy 29, their clothes did not wear out, nor their shoes. And in Psalms 105:37, it says that when they left Egypt with all the gold and silver, there were none sick among them. So what's wrong with us? Because we're living in a better covenant. And they walked in a whole lot more stuff than what we're walking in. And it's not to our discredit, but it's just like what the declaration that was going on tonight about anything is possible. You know? I believe that this group of people in the days to come, there's not going to be any sick among us. And every time I hear about it, it makes me mad. There should be and will be no sick among us. And there will be no death among us. That's what I'm expecting in the days to come. That we're going to be this group of people is going to be a manifestation in the earth of what's possible. There's not going to be any divorce. There's not going to be any jacked up kids. There's going to be healthy, wholesome people manifesting the kingdom in this group of people. That's what I'm looking for, and that's what I'm believing for. Okay. So identity is a huge part of this. So again, write those down. Katie Souza, The Glory Light of Jesus Heals Your Soul. If you've never listened to that, because as I start talking about this more, it's going to help make more sense when you're praying and engaging with these things and you're saying, Father, today I release glory and light into this place. Because that's mainly the revelation, is she's teaching you how to purposefully go after things, no longer being a victim of them. Here you go. There are no victims in Christ. There's only overcomers. So an overcomer is going to stand up, and I would encourage you to stand up when you do this. Because if you were being bullied by someone, you would probably not sit down and be bullied. You would probably stand up to them, and you would look at them face to face, right? And that's the same posture you need to take when you're doing some of this stuff. Is you need to stand up in boldness and courage, knowing who you are. Because when that thing comes to test you, to taunt you, to whatever you... you just stood up in the identity of who you are. Even though if you're in your bedroom in your PJs, whatever, and your favorite worship song's going on, you just stood up in the spirit in your true identity. Okay? And then you're going to start telling that thing, its time is up, and it needs to give back whatever it's stolen, and it can go. Okay? So one of the things that I want to explain about this is the thought that was coming to me is, I don't have my phone, but this is how it works in the realm of the spirit. We have a cell phone. Information travels through waves that we cannot see to our phone, right? That's the same thing that happens in the spirit. This demonic spirit is riding this wave. That's why we're saying resonating. You're resonating something. I'm resonating something. And in that resonant, in that wave, is that demonic spirit that's riding that wave between people. And I want to say this too, because we're going to pray a prayer at the end about breaking ungodly soul ties. But I want to throw in there, you and I can have a soul tie with anything. I was reminded of a friend that she would take her son... I'm friends with her son, and he would say, man, my mom used to take us shopping, and we would go shopping, and she would say, you can't have that, you can't. She would see the demons on the clothes. So how unaware of the realm of the spirit are we? How foolish and ignorant are we? We in the Western world ain't got a clue about the realm of the spirit. But you go to Africa and India and all these places where they're openly practicing occultic spiritual things, and it ain't no joke there. They know. So I'm telling you today, demons can attach themselves to anything, and you and I can have a soul attachment with almost anything. Okay? And again, we just need to ask the Father, you know, Father, are there any ungodly soul ties that I have? And Virginia and I have shared this before. For those of you that are married, you can have an ungodly soul tie with your spouse. We didn't know that, and we started getting delivered of stuff, and it was like, oh, well, that little place in me was attached to a place in her, and this thing was moving back and forth, and that's how it works, you know? So... The more that you and I can understand about how the realm of the spirit works, the greater freedom we're going to walk in. You know, we've got to have understanding. We've got to move out of this place of, you know, God is sovereign, waiting on God to come and do something for me. He may or may not. But we're in a place now where God is giving us keys, and we can start going after stuff and engaging with stuff. We don't have to wait for the big D-Day, Deliverance Day, you know, hoping that God someday is going to deliver me of this horrible thing that I've been walking around for so many years. And it's like, no, quit being a victim to that thing. Quit being a victim and stand up to it and realize it goes back to the identity. This person, whoever I would be talking about, this person has identified as being a victim. Or, let's spin it around. Somebody that's always walking around saying, well, I'm worried about this, or I'm fearful of that. I would say to them, no, you're not. You and your spirit man is not afraid. And that's who you need to connect with. You need to move out of that place in your soul where all that fear is, and you need to stand up in your spirit and connect with your true identity in Christ, because none of that stuff is in Christ. All of it is in your soul. And the more that, and until you see it, you can't really break free from that identity, because you and I are continuing to, well, I'm afraid of this, and I'm fearful of that, and I'm ashamed of this, and all this stuff. You know? It's like, just go through your list. Go through your list. Okay, that's not in Christ. Well, that's not in Christ. That's not in Christ. All right, so Lord, that place in me, I release glory and light into that place right now. I break agreement with it right now. I repent for how I've traded with that fear. I repent for how I've traded with that shame. I repent for how I've traded with whatever that is. And you just stand up and you begin to break agreement and get untangled from that thing. And then let him do the rest. You just came into agreement with what he wants to do with you. He wants all of us to be free. He wants all of us to fully enter into the rest that's been given to us. But like I said, he's left some things in place for you and I to overcome. So every time you're getting beat up, praise God. Seriously, praise God. Because all it's doing is making you stronger. And the more that thing is beating you up, its days are getting shorter. Because I can tell you, when that thing is like crouching around, thumping you every few months and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden the thing is in your grill for days or whatever, you need to recognize it's time for you to stand up, because its days are numbered. When it starts rearing its head like that, it probably knows better than you do that its days are numbered. So the four regions, the four places in the realm of the soul that God, I believe that God showed me and worked with me was, and this is a perfect, well, it's a pretty good picture to lay it out in the sense of, you see the heavens above. And the heavens above are places through our generational bloodlines where we can be connected to the sun, moon, and stars, or planets, or whatever. Okay? Or we willingly watch something on the TV and we like some show that's got this whatever slant to it, and we unknowingly are getting connected to something in the spirit because we like this show. Here's an example. The Vikings show that came out on A&E. I think it's A&E or History Channel. I had never seen it. One day they had this marathon on because the next season was coming out. So they went ahead and played the whole season from last year. I sat down and watched 4 episodes of that thing. That night, I got raped in the spirit. Like, full-on demonic assault, like intimidation, fear, we might as well call it rape, and that's what happened to me. And I'm like, well, I guess I'm not watching that again. But I knew where it came from. Huh? Yeah. Think about who the Vikings were. So why, I mean, okay, I should have thought about that first, but I didn't. So This is our Virginia and I, we call it the School of Spiritual Hard Knocks. You know? And it's the whole thing of what doesn't kill you is only going to make you stronger. So how many times are you going to watch a show and get beat up in the spirit by it? You know? I had a glass of wine from the Barefoot brand. Barefoot wine. I got slimed in the spirit. Mm-hmm. I had to break the spirit off of that thing. Demonic spirits can attach themselves to all kinds of things. And you and I got to discern where they're attached. And right. Oh, here's another example. And this is what I've said before about you and I, like James said, as you get freer, you should be able to begin to discern what's still in you and what's out of you. All right? Because this is what happened to me last week. I was at this house cleaning this pool, and I got this demon came and started speaking the most vile, disgusting things to me. And 5 seconds later, the wife popped out the back door. Yeah. I'm like, Lord, what the heck's going on? I just want to clean the pool and get out of here. But I don't. That was just not fun. I didn't ask for that. I wasn't looking for that. But whatever's going on in that household came and spoke to me. And if you're not discerning that, you're going to condemn yourself for it. Lord, I rebuke that. I'm sorry for having that thought. God, get that out of me. Lord, help me. And all. It's like, no, that wasn't you. Something's resonating. And it's looking for a place. So that's why you and I have to discern, is it still in me? Is there something still in me? And if it's not, then you should be able to discern it's coming from somewhere outside of me, and it's either looking for a place to attach in me, or it just decided to speak to me. And I could honestly have done without that. Because it was vile and disgusting what it said. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to hear that. I don't care to hear that. I mean, it was horrible. So as you begin to, all right, now realize this. In Ephesians, it calls him the Father of Lights, right? There is no darkness in light. So, like you all declared tonight, go deeper, Lord. All right. I was reading about John G. Lake today, and he had been doing miracles for like a while, and there was this insatiable just hunger in him for the things of God and just pressing in and contending for more and more and more, and he said in this one article that I found by him. That he said 10 years later, he encountered God, his sanctifier. And he said that God stepped in front of him or near him, or however he described it. But the point was, is he just got exposed to a whole brighter light than what he was used to. And he said that light exposed all the shadowy things that had never been dealt with. And he had already been ministering for 10 years in the miracles and stuff. But he said that he experienced God as his sanctifier. Pretty amazing story. Okay. So the heavens above is just where, you know, either generationally or because of our own poor choices, because we're ignorant to the things of the Spirit, that we're opening ourselves up, you know, to whatever, and we're trading with something in the stars, not knowing it. Okay, so then, and I want to say this, because in the prayer that we're going to pray here in a few moments, whenever I wrap this up, there's ungodly, in this prayer it's called ungodly dimensions. But Satan has not created any dimension. It's only an ungodly dimension because it's still in darkness. Okay? So keep that in mind as I'm sharing this or we're praying this, and you start praying this, is realize just like there is no kingdom of darkness, there's only something that of the kingdom that's still in darkness because the sons haven't showed up yet to release the glory and the light. Okay? So in these ungodly dimensions, that'll be part of the prayer that we go through here at the end. So, all right, so you got the heavens above. The next place is the high places, or the other mountain ranges, you know, the other mountains that are in the land of your soul. And in those mountains, now realize, like I said this last week, everything that we see in the natural of creation, all right, I'm not talking about, although there's buildings, but everything in creation is a reflection of what is in the spirit. All right? So just like we see mountain ranges in the Appalachians or the Rockies or wherever, there are mountain ranges in the spirit. And in this case, I'm talking about the realm of our soul, and in the realm of our soul, there is mountain ranges. And in those mountain ranges are where the giants are at. Okay? We're some of those kings that were left behind for you to overcome. Okay? So at the appointed time of the Father, you're going to have an appointment with a giant at some point, and you're just going to tell it to leave because it's time for you to take that land. It is that simple. Because when that time comes, you will know by then who you are, and you'll just stand up and say, no, this is mine, and I'm going to take it back now. Okay? See, God is still in control of this. He's still sovereignly orchestrating things. He's just waiting for our agreement with it. And he's waiting for our co-laboring and engaging with him in things. And then, because he knows, and it probably, a lot of times, the first few times, it's going to be stretching, because you might still be a little shaky as to, you know. But after a couple times, it's like, oh, now I know what this is about. No, this is mine, and you can go now, and I'm going to take this, because the Father just exposed you, and I'm going to take it now. Okay? So the high places are where the mountains are where the giants are at. All right, and that's where Caleb went to Joshua and said, Joshua, give me my mountain, and he had to go fight the giants. And he took him out, and he was like 80-something years old and still had the vigor of a young man. Okay. So then you have the land. So that's the third region, is the land. All right. And then the next place is what I call the depths. And in the depths are where you and I can be held captive. That's where the prison cells are at. Whenever we get traumatized, abused, or whatever, however it happens in our life, the best way that I know how to describe it. All right, first of all, everything in the realm of the spirit is a matter of light, right? So everything in the realm of the spirit is basically a reflection of light. It's light. That's the only way I really know how to say it. I mean, it's anyways. So what makes sense to me, or the way I know how to explain it, is in that moment of trauma, you know, however old we were, it's almost like the enemy took a digital photograph of us at that age. And he takes that image, takes it captive, because we're all made in an image, right? So he took that image of you at that age, and he puts you in this little jail cell. And then every time you trade with fear as a little kid, that's how a stronghold gets built in our soul. And I've seen these strongholds in times of ministering to people in several years ago, where these strongholds literally look like a castle. It's a demonic castle. And every time that you and I trade with that thing, the enemy is putting another brick in the wall. The enemy is building another room in the fortress. The enemy is expanding his territory every time you and I trade with that thing. So every time we're trading with it, we're empowering him to build something in our soul. Okay? So a lot of times, you'll see the force. If you ever see into your own soul, if God takes you on a tour of your own soul and he starts showing you stuff, you may or may not see things that have been built in the land by the enemy. But down in the depths, again, is where we're held captive. And for me personally, there's been a teenager that's been set free in me. There's been two or three, something for me in my life. 3 years old was a significant year for whatever reason. I don't fully understand it, but there was like two or three little three-year-old parts of me being held captive. Now, the other thing you need to realize is those emotions, let's just say rage or anger. Most likely, in my case, it was that little three-year-old guy was mad at my mom. Because she didn't know how to discipline me out of love. She disciplined me out of anger. So I got angry. And the enemy took me captive at 3 years old. Because I got angry at my mom. That's how it works. That's how easily we're taken captive. So this little three-year-old guy was mad. So when he got restored, when he got healed, the anger went with him. He was the one carrying the anger. Okay? So that's what you need to understand is these toxic emotions that you're confronting or dealing with or battling with, almost all of them are being carried in a place of captivity that are connected to some point at earlier in your life, and that's where that emotion is resonating from. And then when you get around the right person, it triggers it. Or you get in the right situation, and here it comes. Okay? So the point in even telling you all of this is that as you begin to release the glory light and the truth into your soul, into the heavens above, into the high places, into the land, and into the depths, all right? By you doing that, you are basically saying, Father, I'm ready to steward the land. I accept responsibility for my soul, and I'm ready to steward the land. And then the Father is going to choose when it's time to, okay, I want you to deal with that giant today. That giant that has been... So a lot of times... This is one thing that I learned in my own life is God has given us emotions. Emotions have a purpose, okay? But what you and I have to discern is, all right, where is that line of, in this case, anger? Where it's like, okay, this is a normal anger right here, but over this line, that is demonic. That just got energized by a demon, that anger. And that you and I can discern that. Okay? So, and you're becoming in tuned to what's going on inside of you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by discerning the Spirit. And God showing you things, or whatever that looks like. So again, the Father is in control of these things. And as you get stronger in your spirit, and let's go ahead and settle this one. When you stand up, and you might say it for a week, Father, I release the glory light into the heavens above, into the high places, into the land, and into the depths, and I just speak truth and life into my soul this day, and I bless my soul this day. You just did that out of your spirit. Whether you realize it or, you know, you're still, like I said, in your PJs sipping coffee and you just did that. You just did that out of your spirit. That's how quickly it is for you and I to be in our spirit and still be aware and still be consciously aware of this realm. You know, you don't have to have spiritual doodads or goosebumps and all this stuff to be, oh, I wasn't in my spirit because I didn't feel fire on my back and whatever. You didn't have some manifestation of something, so oh, I must have not been in my spirit. No. You're standing up, and again, you're accepting responsibility for your soul. The fact that you're even standing up doing this, you just told the Father, I'm accepting responsibility this day. And I'm going to speak life into my soul, and I'm going to release light and glory into my soul right now, because I know I can do it. And so, Father, today, that place of fear, I repent for the fear, and I repent for all of the trades and every way that I've traded with fear. And Father, right now, I release glory and light into that place of fear in my soul, in my mind, my will, and my emotions. Every place where this fear is trafficking and resonating in me, I release truth into that place. And I ask you to expose it right now in Jesus' name. That's how you go after stuff, in you. And it's that simple. You do that enough with something, I promise you, you're going to get breakthrough. You are going to get breakthrough. As long as you break agreement with it. Because, like I said, all of this goes back to identity. You think you're walking around afraid all the time. You think you were born with fear. You think, I'm just a fearful person. I'm just a timid person. No, you're not. You're much bigger and stronger than you think you are. And you haven't realized it yet. But hopefully at some point, if you keep hanging around here, you're going to realize it. And you're going to stand up and you're going to take responsibility for your soul. Because this is the progression, this is the progression of us manifesting as a son. If I was to tell you A, B, C, D, E, F, G, you and I are going to sit on that seat of rest first and foremost. And that is lordship. That is us accepting, Father, I accept responsibility for my soul and I will govern my soul today. Whatever manifests in your soul, again, go home and write down the list. Shame, fear, depression, anxiety. Everything that you know from the Bible that is not in Christ. I mean, this is not like rocket science stuff. This is not in Christ. Okay, well, if that is not in Christ, then that is not who I am. So, Father, open up my eyes to see this. And this is the Hebrews 4, letting the sword of the Lord come and rightly divide you. Because until you see that thing and stop identifying with it, you're entangled with it. And you're living out of a false identity. So let him show you what it is. Again, the simplest thing I can think of is sit down. You probably have already thought of four or five of them while I'm sitting here talking. Go and write them down. Because tonight you should know, these things are not in Christ and that is not who I am. That is not me. I am not that person. Right? Okay. So again, Satan, the enemy, has not created anything. All right? No dimensions, nothing. All right? So when we pray this prayer, and I want to say this. You can get this off of Paul Cox's website, aslansplace.com. A-S-L-A-N-S, place. aslandsplace.com. Aslandsplace.com. I think it's called the Generational Prayer Manual. You can go on there. There's a whole kind of, all of the prayers that they have, that they've put together, have all come out of revelation and times of praying together, and God has given them these prayers. But I promise you, if you print this off and you pray this, if you pray this every day for a few weeks, the understanding of this is going to start coming to you. You're going to start understanding the dimensions that you're walking in. You're going to start understanding when you're getting around certain people, certain things are going off, or you're picking up on whatever because somebody's resonating something. Because it's not you. This person is resonating something, and it's not you, and you're realizing it now. Okay? So the thing is to really just ask the Holy Spirit to help you to begin to discern what is in you and what is out of you. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you discern what is still resonating in you that gets triggered by you know, the friends and family and situations, you know. Because Virginia and I learned, because of being husband and wife and being one, that's a really deep place that gets triggered. So more than likely, if you're not married, it's probably your mom or your dad or a brother or a sister or somebody in your bloodline that's really close to you. And if there's something familiar with that person, that's going to be the one that really triggers you the hardest. So recognize there's a soul tie with that person. So Father, I break it. You can do that. Just Father, I break it. Right now, I break that ungodly soul tie with this person right now in Jesus' name. And I repent for every way that I've traded with it. How did you trade with it? That's important for you to know. How have you traded with these things? With your words? With your actions? You know? How have you traded? Because the more that you can understand how you've traded, the easier it's going to be for you to untangle from that thing and stop the cycle, stop the pattern of whatever that's about. Okay? Because I've said this before, you know, and I laugh about it. Depression, like, God delivered me of a generational thing of depression. And it was really cool what happened. And I was with Paula when it happened. Jesus, there was a chain left on the ground. And Jesus, and it was like, all right, well, he's not done with that one. There's still something. And then I saw this hand pick up this chain. And he pulled it up out of the sand, which I knew the sand was the sands of time. He pulled this buried chain from under the sand, and it went back like 7 or 9 generations, and it was fastened to a concrete pillar. So I can't remember if it was 7 or 9 generations back, and it was fastened to a pillar. And then this hammering angel, this angel was like this big, and his hammer was this big. I mean, that's what it looked like. And he just came, and one blow, powder, bye-bye, gone. Boom. So that was generational depression that got healed. Well, you know what? That depression would come, and however it would get triggered, you know, the bill is late, we ain't got enough money, whatever, however it got triggered, I would go eat cookies. I would go eat a snack. I had a soul tie with some food. Depression would come. Did y'all see my Cookie Monster prayer?
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
God, deliver me from the Cookie Monster. That's real. No, I said, no, in the prayer, I eat gluten-free, sugar-free cookies. Anyways, you gotta you got to break the ungodly soul ties, all the things of darkness, so that Christ can come forth and you can be free to snack. I wasn't snacking in freedom. I was snacking in slavery. So what does that look like in your life? Here, where's the microphone? Anybody want to share? No, I mean, so this is how it works. This is what it looks like. This is how it works. Okay? That whatever that is, it gets triggered. Then what do? You go watch a soap opera? Huh? You go watch Days of Our Lives? Yeah. So I encourage you and I bless you to begin to discern and to know what those things are. Begin to know what that looks like. Begin to discern and know what that looks like in your life. You know? I mean, if we're going to call sin a sin, seriously, if sin is sin, I was in sin eating that cookie. I was in sin because I was eating that cookie because I was depressed. That's sin. So let's go ahead and call it for what it is if we're going to go ahead and have this conversation, and let's define sin. Sin is nothing more than a place of separation from Christ. I was fully separated from Christ eating that cookie. And I wasn't happy about it. I was depressed. So... All right, so are y'all ready? All right. Yeah, so let's stand up. Because remember, you're not going to be seated in front of a bully. If a bully walks up to you, you're either going to stand up or you're going to tuck tail and run. Enough of the running, enough of the tuck tailing and running stuff. It's time for, will the real, okay. Thank you that the real you just stood up. Praise God. Thank you. The real you just stood up. Okay. Hey, move that one over, Michael. It's the PDF. Oh, you're over there. Keep going left. There you are. It's that red triangle. Right there. Yeah. And then drag that over. Again, what this looked like in my life was, I mean, I can't tell you weeks or months or whatever, but every morning, Virginia can tell you, I would go over to the apartment for hours. I had the time to do that, thankfully. That's before Connie moved in there. But thankfully, I had the time to go over there, and I would be over there for a couple hours, and I would do these kinds of things until I knew I was done. So I'm telling you, if you're going to start this, don't stop until you're done. This is not a one and done. This is a standing up, Father, today I accept responsibility for my soul. And whatever that ends up looking like for you is whatever it looks like. But you're gonna begin to, whether you do this prayer or you listen to the Katie Souza teaching about releasing glory light into your soul. I mean, because like I said, it's really good to listen to that, because when you stand up and do this, it's just gonna make sense that you know you're releasing glory and light into that place where whatever you're going after, you know? Okay? Can y'all see that? Do y'all need it? Yeah, you can make it a little, hit that plus sign up there, Michael. Right, over to the left a little bit.
Right there?
Yeah, go it, hit it. Bam. Can y'all see that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna skip, we'll skip this. You guys can, seriously, if you want this, just go print it off. And you can pray through the dimensions. You can pray through the dimensions, because they know by quantum physics there's like 12 or 13 dimensions that you and I are in right now. All right? So one of those dimensions can be in darkness, and the enemy can be trafficking in that dimension, and you can be connected there or whatever. All right? Hey, move it. Bring it up a little bit, that I repent. Just bring that up a little higher. That way we can see the bottom, Michael. Thank you, sir. There you go. Oh, okay. All right, y'all ready? I repent on behalf of myself and my generational line for connecting or entering into any realm, dimension, or location in order to gain information and power from the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, I now reject any ungodly inheritance of power or information. Lord, please take any part of me out of those locations and close and seal all ungodly doors, gates, or portals. Lord Jesus, please stop all ungodly dimensional shifting as it relates to me and my family line. Lord, please remove me from any black holes, vortexes, or out of any voids between dimensions. Lord, please remove me from being trapped in infinity and from any ungodly constant or unending cycle. Lord, please remove me from any ungodly repeating patterns, any ungodly device, deposit, attachment, agreement, or entities from those dimensions, black holes, vortexes, or from any voids between the dimensions. Let's go. Bring. All right. In the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of myself and my family line, I repent and renounce and break all ungodly ties between me and my family line and the first dimension, between me and my family line and the second dimension, between me and my family line and the third dimension. I break all ungodly ties between me and my family line and the fourth dimension. Lord, please put me and my family line and time and space back in right alignment. I break all ungodly ties between me and my family line and the fifth dimension, the sixth dimension, the seventh dimension, the eighth dimension, the ninth dimension, the tenth dimension, the 11th dimension, and the 12th dimension, and all dimensions through eternity. Lord, where it affects me and my family line, Please break all ungodly agreements between dimensions and all ungodly linkages between dimensions. Please remove any evil spirits energizing these ungodly connections and agreements. Lord, please return anything good that was stolen or given away and close and seal all ungodly doors. Lord, please open up the godly dimensions that lead to you and the revelation of your purposes in my life. Do that for a few weeks. This one is called Prayer Breaking Ungodly Ties Between a Person and the Dimensions. Aslan's Place. Yeah, if you go on to Aslan's Place and in the search window, type in dimensions and this one will come up. Okay? And then if you go on there, look through some of the other prayers, but I would just encourage you, whether it's this one or another one, but just start with one. And focus on one until you know you're done. Until you really have an understanding of praying into the dimensions and cleansing the dimensions with the blood of the Lamb, breaking soul ties, breaking agreements, whatever that ends up looking like. But again, this is what I've been doing for the last 5 years. These are the things that I've been doing. Whether in the morning or whether at night. You stand up. Father, I release glory and light into the heavens above, into the high places, into the land, and into the depths. And I just bless the land of my soul. I bless my soul this day, and I speak life into my soul. I release the life of Christ into my soul. I'm in my spirit speaking that. David, what did David say? Bless the Lord, O my soul. So whatever place that you want to call that David stood in, whether you want to say it's your spirit or whatever you come up with, but the point is, you're standing in a place and you're speaking into your soul because it is yours to govern as the Lord. All right? So, again, whether it's the glory light or this one or another one, it's just as you do that, as you do that, you're going to begin to see in the spirit, you're going to begin to understand what's going on in the realm of the spirit more clearly. Because that, by you doing that, you're actually stewarding and being faithful with it. Right? Okay? So, whatever it is that you start focusing on, don't move beyond that until you know you're done with it for right now. And then whatever the next one is that you feel like you wanna go after, then focus on that one for a few weeks. But, you know, pray that thing. Whenever you spend your time with the Lord, morning or evening, whenever that is, pray that. Begin to get in a habit of doing that every day. And when you do that for a while, it's going to become very real to you. You're going to understand standing on your mountain. Because that's really wherever you're at in your kitchen or bedroom or whatever, and you just stood up, Father, I speak. And go ahead and say it just so that you'll hear yourself say it. Father, I come into my mountain right now and I stand on my mountain and then start doing whatever it is that you're doing. Because you're there. You're there. All right? So, Father, I just thank you for everything that's been released tonight. And I thank you, Father, for understanding. I ask for understanding. I ask for, Father, just the things that you've released, Father, for people to understand what's going on in their own personal lives and the things that you want to do in them and with them, Father. I just thank you, Father, for agreement. I thank you for a yes in our hearts. And I thank you, Father, for meeting with each and every one of us, Father, as we begin to engage with you in these things, Father, as we begin to co-labor with you. And I thank you, Father, for meeting with us, for interacting with the heavenly hosts and the ministering spirits that you sent to us, Father, to minister to us so that freedom can come and so that our souls can fully enter into rest, so that we can be free to be who we truly are in you. So I just thank you, Father. I just thank you, Father, for every false identity that was in this room tonight to be fully revealed to each and every person, Father. I ask for every false identity that was in this room while I was speaking, Father, to be fully revealed to the people that want to know what that is. Father, I just ask that you would lay out that map. You would lay out, Father, that road map for them to see the patterns, the cycles, Father, everything clearly of what that looks like in their life, so that they can begin to repent, to break agreement, and begin to establish new cycles, new patterns, new habits, and truth being established in them, in Jesus' name. And so I just bless you and just thank you, Father, in your name. Amen.